Hello, I'm Hannah, one of the seniors at Youth Group. Our Bible reading tonight comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through to 41. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on earth that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord and our God will call. With many other words he warned them and pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Thanks very much, Hannah. That was a very long reading. I'm sorry about that. I think we should give Hannah a clap for making it through that. That was a pretty awesome effort. My name is Simon. I'm one of the ministers here. Now, we're going to get into the Bible very shortly, but before we do that, I have to make an announcement, and I have to kind of look at my phone for that because I need to say some words correctly as I do that. But many of you might have heard that this week, or I think on Thursday, it became public, that the Presbyterian Church of Queensland has been placed into receivership. Some of you have heard that? Yeah, okay, cool. The reason that's the case is because the Presbyterian Church of Queensland asked the kind of Supreme Court in Brisbane to kind of appoint us a receiver. Now, the reason they did that is because we actually have quite a large debt to a creditor that we need to pay, and we're about to kind of not make one of the payments. Our debt is very big, like 100 million. Just in case this didn't get recorded. But it's a big debt, right? You can't just kind of throw like a few dollars at it and we're all sweet. It's not that kind of a debt. And so we had to kind of get some receivers appointed. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, Jason reckons that receivers are friendly, like undertakers are friendly. That's kind of how it rolls. But basically, you might have maybe two questions. One is, do we get to keep our property? At this point, yes, but that may change. So currently, we get to keep our property, but in the future, that may change. We may lose all this property. We may be meeting in my back deck. Some of you will be in the pool, some of you will be in the deck. That's how we'll fit everyone in COVID safely. Anyway, that's one question. Another question is, what about our bank accounts? What happens to them? Well, our advice is that our bank accounts are safe, and that seems to be pretty true across all the advice we've been given. Our bank accounts are safe. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we can continue doing our work here. We continue on the mission. The receiver has said, hey guys, continue business as usual. So we're going to continue doing what we do as per usual. But there's one key thing we need to happen to make sure that we keep doing business as usual. And that is that you guys keep giving to the mission that we're on about here. Your giving will not go to the receiver. Your giving will go to paying for me to buy mountain bike tyres for my bike. But also for my family and Jason's family and Chris's family and Sarah and for Rachel and for Catalina and her mountain bike tyres. It'll pay for lots of things. It'll also pay for the lights to be on here. It'll pay for the 3 air conditioners to be on. It pays for lots of things. It'll pay for the pizza after the service. As you eat that, you might think this is free, but you've actually paid for it in a different way. Just if you've got that. Anyway, so we can continue on, but you know what? The way we continue on is by you giving to the work of the gospel so that we can continue on. This year, we are on budget. We're actually ahead of budget. But this year, it's a deficit budget, and so we're running at a $100,000 loss. We have $200,000 in the bank, so we have 2 years before I become a professional lawnmower. I've actually looked at some jobs in Townsville last week, actually, what will I do if it all goes pear-shaped? Anyway, lawn mowing for the council seemed like the most exciting to me, to be honest. But we are all good. In terms of we can continue on with our mission, you need to keep giving to that to help it all happening. But if you have any more questions about anything about the whole receivership thing, please have a chat with me or with Niels. With Roger. Where's Roger? Oh, he's gone. Oh, okay, yes. Everyone just wave to Roger. He's over next door. Anyway, that's it for the announcement. We're done. Forget all that. Let's pray. And ask that God help us to understand his word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have this special time right now where we can open up your word together. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand your word. Father, we pray that we would all call on the name of the Lord, and that in so doing, we would know that we're saved in the coming judgment. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in all that, I forgot to say there's an outline. If you're an outline person, you've got about 10 seconds to work that out. Anyway, this week I've been west of Brisbane on a training course at a place called Moogara, which means place of many storms. And I've been there doing this kind of training to be a mentor, or I call it a mentor, but I'm training to be a mentor. I'm being trained to help younger ministers to kind of work out how to do their job. I'm not sure how that'll work. I'm not sure if anyone would actually want me as their mentor. But I actually am really excited about how I might be able to kind of implement some of the training I've had into the way that I meet up with guys here at church. I love meeting up with guys here and reading the Bible, and I'm excited about how this training might help me to do a better job of that. Outline time's over. Anyway, the training was at a beautiful location. Beautiful location, Moogara, place of many storms. That's a shot from my morning walk. But before we went on this training this week, everyone present at the training was told, this week you will have to share your story. Your story, warts and all, of how you became a Christian, of how your ministry is going. You will have to share your story. We were all warned about it. And so when it started happening, we were like, yep, okay, I've got it. I know what's going on here. And it was really wonderful to hear the way that God has been working in people's lives to rescue them, the way that God is working in people's lives through mess to actually do some wonderful ministry. We were warned that we would have to share our stories. And when we had to share our stories, it was like, yes, this is all going according to plan. They told us this would happen. This is what's happening. This is going according to plan. Well, tonight, as we continue our journey in the book of Acts, we're going to see that that whole speaking in different languages thing that we saw last week, well, that's all going according to plan. It was talked about in the Old Testament. It was predicted that it would happen. The plan is coming through. And this plan is actually a sign. It's a sign that we live in the last days. It's a sign that God's coming judgment is coming soon. And so please have your Bibles open there at Acts chapter 2. Our first point tonight is that this is part of the plan. Well, pick up the action with me from verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, Peter, with the backing of the other 11 apostles, he stands up to address the crowd. He's about to explain what's going on. Because remember last week, the people had two responses to the whole speaking in different languages thing. Some were marveling at what was happening. Some were saying, you know what, they're drunk. That's what's going on. Well, Peter says, hey guys, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And he's kind of being a little bit cheeky by doing that. He's basically saying, you know what, it's too early to be on the terps. Now, these guys, remember, they're the bogans of the ancient world, right? Maybe it was too early for them, but I don't know if it's too early for the modern day bogan. They might have been on the terps at 9 o'clock in the morning, but back in the day, it was too early. And Peter's saying, you know what? They're not drunk. They're not on the terps. Something different is happening here. In fact, it's a fulfillment of something the prophet Joel said in the Old Testament. And you can see that in verses 17 and 18. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all of his people. He'll pour out his spirit and they'll all prophesy. Now, there's probably a few terms in those verses that we need to get our heads around. The first is the term the last days. Now, in the New Testament, I take this reference to be talking about the time between Jesus' first appearing, so when he was born and when he kind of grew up and then he died and then he rose again and then he ascended. That's the first appearing. And his second appearing is when he'll come back to judge the world. That time in between is the last days. And the Spirit coming is a sign that we're living in these last days. Now, the other term that we probably need to qualify is the term prophecy. What does it mean that the people will prophesy? Now, in the New Testament, I generally take this to mean that they will talk about Jesus. The Spirit will come on the people and they'll talk about Jesus. Now, last week we saw the people were powered by the Spirit and they were declaring the wonders of God in different languages. Now, I understand what was happening last week is the people were talking about Jesus in different languages. They were declaring the wonders of God. And so it should come as no surprise to us that the prophet Joel said, you know what, this would happen in the future. And the fact that kind of Peter's picking up on it, he's saying, you know what, this is all going according to plan. It's all going according to plan, and it's a sign that the great and glorious day of Jesus' return is coming, which is a bit scary, but there is some hope in that. We'll have a look at verses 20 and 21 with me. It says this.
The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Spirit coming is a sign of God's coming judgment. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is all a part of God's plan. It's all going according to plan. Well, this week, when I was away at this mentor training thing, and I told you before it was at a beautiful location, when we got to the point of sharing our stories, we were like, yes, this is going according to plan. We actually spent the whole first day from 8:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night listening to people's stories, listening to them share how Jesus had worked in their life, their messy situations, all of it. And we had to practice this thing called immediacy, where you kind of have to reflect on their story and say, you know what, this is where I kind of felt some points of contact with your story. It meant you had to pay attention all day because you'd have a chance to kind of share, you know, this is what I learned about your story. Yes, I affirm you. Yes, you're a good person. Yes, I like the way. Anyway, that was kind of how it worked. We all had to share our stories. We knew it would happen. We knew it was coming. We knew we'd spend a whole day doing it. And when the day began and the first person shared their story, and everyone's thinking, I'm not going first. You know, I'm not going first. You know, the person who goes first, they set the tone right for the rest of the day. I thought about going first and said, no, don't do that, Simon. You might miss an opportunity. Anyway, so I didn't go. I went like fourth or something. Anyway, we're sharing the stories. We knew it was happening, and it was a sign. It was a sign that our mentor training had started. We're at Moogara Dam, place of many storms. The training had started. Well, the people speaking in tongues is a sign that the Spirit has come. It's what the prophet Joel said would happen. But the Spirit coming is also a sign of something else. It's a sign that we live in the last days. It's a sign that Jesus will come back to judge the world. Jesus' return is very much on the cards. Now, we don't know when Jesus is going to return. It could be tomorrow, and wouldn't that be wonderful if it was? Go for one last mountain bike ride, and then off the mountain into heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Not like jump, but like be sucked up. That's what I'm thinking, sucked up into heaven. Anyway, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing tomorrow? Anyway, it could be tomorrow, or it could be in a few thousand years. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But we do know the only way to be safe when he returns is to call on the name of the Lord. And Peter is about to show us who this Lord is. See, the whole tongue thing, that's gone according to plan. It shows that the Spirit's come. It shows us that we're now living in the last days. But Jesus is about to show us. It's not Jesus. Peter is about to show us who the Lord is. I think I just gave away who the answer is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the Lord, and Peter is going to work away in this second point to show us that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Lord. Well, pick up the action with me from verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter is working away to help the people to understand who Jesus is. He's saying, you know what? When he was on earth, he did some crazy stuff. Like he calmed the storm. Remember, he was asleep in the boat, and his disciples said, hey, Jesus, wake up, there's a storm. And Jesus kind of just woke up and said, shush, and the storm shushed. That's kind of how it all worked. Jesus did many other amazing things here on earth to prove that he was the Christ, to prove that he was the Son of God. And he died according to the plan, and God raised him to life because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Well, now, the Apostle Peter, he goes on in this section to interact with some things that that King David said to prove that Jesus is the Christ, to prove that Jesus is Lord. The first is about Jesus being the Messiah or the Christ. Messiah means anointed in Hebrew. Christ means anointed in Greek. And you can see the conclusion of this in verse 31. This is what it says. Seeing what was to come, he, that's David, spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. David spoke about Jesus being the ultimate Messiah or ultimate Christ. He wouldn't stay dead. He would be resurrected. And Peter goes on in verses 32 and 33 to say, you know what? We are witnesses. We are eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus. And he's been exalted at the right hand of God, and he's poured out the Spirit. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the King. But he's more than that. Jesus is also the Lord. And that's where Peter goes next. Have a look at verse 34 with me. It says this, "For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.'" Now, these couple of verses take a little while to get your head around, but essentially David is saying, the Lord, Yahweh, God the Father, said to my Lord, said to Jesus, God the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Now, where is Jesus currently? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the King, but he's also the Lord. He's God the Son, who's at the right hand of the Father, and he rules over the whole world. And the Apostle Peter has been working away to show us this. And he says this in verse 36, that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, that's both the Jews and us, really, both Lord and Messiah, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is therefore the Lord, God the Son, ruling over the whole world, and everyone who calls on his name will be saved in the coming judgment. Well, this week when I had to share my story, it reminded me of a lot of things I've kind of forgotten about for a while. It reminded me of good things and bad things. But it reminded me of when I used to be a high school teacher in northern New South Wales at a place called Mullumbimby, just near Byron Bay. I used to teach science, and I also used to teach SRE, which is kind of like RI in a public school, but I was paid to do that. And it was a lot of fun. We used to kind of, I really enjoy the banter that a teacher can have with students in the playground. As you kind of walk to class and you kind of just take the mickey out of each other, that's probably my favourite part of teaching and school sport. But anyway, we were in the classroom, and often when we're in the classroom, we're trying to teach the kids to think about who is Jesus? Who is he? And we used to get them to think about this quote from a guy called C.S. Lewis. He's kind of a famous dude. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. And he's got this quote, and the quote is something like this, is that Jesus is either liar, a lunatic, or Lord. See, if you take the Gospels about Jesus seriously, if you take Jesus' claims seriously, Jesus can't just be a good teacher or a moral guy. It doesn't kind of fit with his claims. He can either be Lord, he's telling the truth, he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, the ruler of the world. Or he can be a liar. He's lying to get a following, but that didn't work out so well for him. He ended up on a cross. Or he could be a lunatic. He actually could be self-deluded and crazy. They're your three options with Jesus. This is a Lord, liar, or lunatic. Which one is he? You just get the students to think that through. Remember one student one day saying, "Sir, you're almost convincing me." Almost convincing me. Well, Peter has shown us that Jesus is the Lord and the Christ. And if that's the case, if Jesus is the Lord, what sort of response have you made to him? Do you believe in Jesus? If you do believe in Jesus, does your life reflect that? Are you actually living for him with your life? Are you making decisions that will help you to live for Jesus? Well, friends, we're kind of at our third point. We've seen that the tongue sing is all part of God's plan. We've seen that Jesus is Lord, and now we're going to see how the people respond. We'll pick up the action with me from verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Well, how do the people respond? Well, they all respond in a beautiful way. They're cut to the heart. They realize how they've treated the Lord. They realize how they've treated the Christ. And they say to Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter responds to them in verse 38. And it's worth us kind of pausing and kind of unpacking verse 38 for a little bit. Because it's kind of slightly confusing. It kind of sounds like a logical order. If you kind of repent, then get baptized, then you'll get the Spirit. But as we kind of work through Acts, it's not that clean. It kind of works a little bit differently to that sometimes. And so as we kind of tackle this verse, verse 38, we're just going to tackle each little bit at a time. The first thing Peter says is that they should repent. Now, repent means to change one's mind. It's actually associated with being sorry. For these people, they need to change their mind about Jesus, the one they killed. He's the Lord and the Christ. And they actually need to be sorry about that. They need to change their mind. They need to repent and trust in Jesus. Well, next they are to get baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save anyone, but we know from other parts of the Bible that it's a sign that someone is now part of God's people. It's a public declaration that this person now follows Jesus. The washing with water is symbolic of the washing that Jesus' blood achieves for us, washing away our sin. And the last thing Peter says is after they've done this, after they've repented and been baptized, they'll receive the Spirit. Which kind of makes it sound, once you kind of tick the boxes, you'll get the Spirit. But it's much more complex than that. The fact that the people are actually cut to the heart, that's actually a really good sign that the Spirit is actually working in them. They want to respond to Jesus. What I think Peter is saying here is that the Spirit is all part of this. The Spirit will help people to kind of think about Jesus. It'll help them be cut to the heart. It'll help them to trust in Jesus. It'll help them to witness to Jesus. It'll help them to be transformed to be like Jesus. And verse 41 tells us that the people actually get what Jesus is saying, and about 3,000 people believe in Jesus, which is amazing, right? It's an amazing response. That 3,000 people would respond to Peter's teaching like that, would respond to Jesus like that. Well, this week, again, as I've been reflecting on my story and kind of thinking about how it all works and thinking about being a high school teacher, it reminded me of one of the things I used to love, not just the interaction in the playground, but going surfing for school sport. I used to be a professional surfer. I used to get paid to take students surfing for school sport. It was actually a beautiful, wonderful thing. And I remember one day we kind of had to paddle across the river, and then I didn't have my glasses on. And I said to the students when we came back, I was like, "Is everyone back? Has everyone come back in? I can't see." And one of the students was like, "Yeah, I think they're all back, sir." And I was like, "Okay, sweet. Let's just paddle across the river and go home." Thankfully, they all were with us, and there wasn't a report on a current affair or something like that in regard to that. But I remember one time being in the surf with some students kind of at a place called Brunswick Heads. It's kind of near Byron Bay. We're out in the water, and this kid called Josh, red hair, paddled over to me, said, Sir, am I going to hell?" It's in the surf. Waves were coming. Sharks were around, probably. Said, "Sure. Sure you are, yeah. You're going to hell, Josh. Unless, of course, you do trust in Jesus." And he said, "Thanks, sir," and paddled off. That was the end of our interaction. I'd answered his question. Is he going to hell? Well, he is if he doesn't trust in Jesus. Actually, this week I was thinking about Josh. I was thinking, I wonder where Josh is now. I wonder if he has a red beard. I'm not sure. No, I didn't think that. Right, I wonder where Josh is. I wonder if he actually trusts in Jesus. Well, I wonder how you're responding to Jesus. Friends, we've seen the response of the people in Acts 2. 3,000 people accepted the message about Jesus, and they were baptized, and they threw their lot in with Jesus. They're now part of the new people of God. Which begs the question, what sort of response are we making to Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Lord? Well, if you're still thinking through who Jesus is, can I encourage you to keep coming along, to keep coming along to church and finding out more about Jesus? It may not be too late to join Christianity Explored and go along and find out more about Jesus as they work through Mark's Gospel together. Come and have a chat with me after. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Keep coming along. We'd love to keep the discussion open. We'd love to hear your hard questions about Jesus. We'd love to try and convince you that Jesus isn't a liar. He's not a lunatic. In fact, he is Lord. And if you call on his name, you will be saved. Maybe you do believe in Jesus. Maybe you've you think, I know who Jesus is. He's Lord. I trust in him. But maybe you haven't been baptized before. Maybe if that's you, maybe you have some thinking to do there. Should you get baptized? Should you publicly declare that you are a follower of Jesus, that Jesus' blood has washed you clean? If you want to talk more about that, I'd love to talk to you more about that after the service. Maybe you have trusted in Jesus. Maybe you've aligned your life to the King, to the Lord of our universe. But are you growing? Are you growing to be more and more like Jesus? See, if you believe in Jesus, you have the Spirit inside of you, and he will help you to witness to the Lord Jesus. But he'll also help you to grow more and more like Jesus. Next week we'll see the Spirit and the way it transforms the early believers, and so that they are devoted. They're devoted to the Word, they're devoted to prayer, they're devoted to one another. It's a beautiful picture of the early church. But if you do believe in Jesus, how are you growing in your relationship with him? And one of the key ways that you grow in your relationship with Jesus and with God is through the Bible. Are you reading the Bible? Are you regularly reading the Bible? This week, at the training thing, I got this cool analogy. I actually understood it for the first time. I actually understood for the first time how windmills work. I'm going to show you a little picture here. That's a windmill, if you have never come across one before. Now, the way that I understand how a windmill works is the wind blows into the kind of the fan thingy, right? And that makes it spin, which draws up water from the ground to kind of water, like to go into troughs, and the cattle can come and drink out of the troughs. Is everyone with me? Yeah. You sure? Have I explained it wrong? No, you're with me? Okay, that's how it works. It kind of spins around, draws the water up into the troughs. I knew that, right? I knew that bit. But what I didn't really get was what happens with the wind, right? There's a wind vane. See that big thing at the back behind the kind of choppery things, that big thing, the wind vane? You know what that does? Well, the wind blows and the wind vane aligns the kind of propeller things to the wind. That's the way it works. Kind of, if it's kind of side on, it'll blow the wind until it's kind of facing like this, and then the wind will kind of shoot past it and the little fan things will stay there and they'll keep spinning. Does that make sense? The wind kind of works with the vane and it kind of aligns it to the wind for the fan, so it kind of works. The analogy was this. The Word is like the wind aligning us to the Spirit. Does that make sense? The Word aligns us to the Spirit. I actually thought that was beautiful. You guys look like, what the heck are you talking about, man? But I actually thought it was beautiful. Like, oh yeah, that the Word, it aligns us to the Spirit. And so when we read the Word, it kind of aligns us to the Spirit, and the Spirit kind of can work in our lives. Because the Word and the Spirit, they go together, right? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit go together So if you want to be transformed to be like Jesus, if you actually want to live a life that says thank you to Jesus, you need to get stuck into the Word so that you are transformed, so the Spirit can work with the Word to transform you to be more and more like His Son, like Jesus. Well, friends, how about we pray? How about we pray? We keep thinking about Jesus. We keep growing in our relationship with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, we pray that you'd help us to love your Word. Help us to delight in your Word. Father, please, by your Word, align us to the Spirit so that we might be transformed, so that we might be more and more like your Son, Jesus. And Father, as we look at the kind of the early church next week and the beautiful way they devote themselves to each other and the Word and prayer, Father, help us to be transformed so we are like that. So we love your Word and we love each other. Father, for those who are kind of still checking Jesus out, we pray that you would be with them. Father, we pray that you'd help them to see that Jesus is Lord. Father, help us to be helpful in that conversation. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.